If you reflect and observe deeply the readings for this weekend, there is one theme that runs through all the readings today, starting from the first reading to the gospel, and that is obviously the theme of forgiveness. And this theme of forgiveness also is deepened by the question of Peter to Jesus in the gospel today. Lord, how many times should I forgive? Probably Peter was having a hard time with some of his relationship with his brothers, meaning with the other apostles, or even in his own personal lives. Probably he experienced lots of frustrations and it's like, okay, how many times would I have to endure this? So he asked Jesus this question. Should I forgive 7 times? And the reply of Jesus was not 7 times, but 77 times. You know, the number in here should not confuse us to take it literally, but rather the number 7 is always a number of infinity in the scriptures. It means without limits, without boundaries. It's without limits because God's love and mercy are without limits. And Peter probably was still having a hard time understanding this. It's like, what does this mean? So Jesus gave him or recounted a parable of a servant who owed his master a huge amount. He was indebted to his master for a big sum of money. And then another servant who owed the first servant a smaller amount. We were told that the master forgave the debt of the first one as a whole. His entire debt was totally forgiven. But after he learned what he did to his fellow servant, he withheld what he gave at the beginning. So there seems to be a contradiction here. If Jesus says that forgiveness is without limits, why is it that in the story today, he was giving us an example of a master who forgave and in the end withheld that same forgiveness, thereby putting limits to forgiveness? Do you see, you know, the seemingly contradictory scenario here? Jesus saying, you should forgive without limits, but in his example, the master actually had put limits on forgiveness by withholding back what he gave. Well, we could understand this parable by actually going back to that line in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Christ taught us. And in that prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That line is really the constitution of forgiveness in the Catholic or the Christian tradition. Forgiveness is a two-way street. As we receive boundless and limitless forgiveness from God, we are also called the same to do it in that same way. I was reading last night a commentary on this, and I was a little bit uncomfortable with what I read. The person said, what this gospel really is telling us and reminding ourselves of what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer is that inasmuch as God wants to give us limitless forgiveness, His forgiveness to us is limited by the way we forgive other people. I was like, really? That God is gonna be limited by the way I forgive other people? Actually, that is what Jesus is trying to tell us here. Jesus is telling us, in as much as I want to give to you unlimited forgiveness, I am also going to be limited by how you value this, by being agents of same forgiveness to other people. One of the things that is always connected with mercy and forgiveness is justice. And I'm not talking about the justice that needs to be meted to the person who was offended, but rather the kind of justice that is Jesus proposing us here in the gospel by saying, okay, if I have given you this unlimited forgiveness, and if you refuse to be unlimited in your mercy and forgiveness to other, where is justice in there? It's unjust on our part to do that. But at the same time too, we should not be misled that when we forgive, and I've mentioned this so many times, that whenever we exercise forgiveness, that we overlook justice. If I remember, I was actually watching a documentary about this a few weeks ago. It's called Radical Love. It was a story of a Filipino actor whose mother was brutally killed in a robbery. And she was so strong in her faith prior to all of these things happening. But when the robbery happened and her mother was killed in the process of the robbery, she really had a hard time, especially listening to homilies and reflections on forgiveness. It took her a long time to accept it. But because she was so overwhelmed with this anger, with this pain, and all of this would not leave her, she decided to give forgiveness a chance. So she went actually to meet with a person who killed her mother in the prison. And she said that, "I already had plans on what to do when I get there. You know, I probably want to slap him. I want to just hurt him. But with the grace of God, when I went there and saw him, the first thing that I did was just to give him an embrace and tell him that I forgive him. And that was the most liberating thing that he experienced after the death of her mother." She said, "I'm gonna work for justice, making sure that he pays in the justice system what he did to my family, but now I can live my life in the moment." There's also a website which I wrote in the bulletin article today called Forgiveness Project. I think that's the name. Can it recount stories of second chances of forgiveness in the most horrific criminal acts that we could think of, and how people who are involved, survivors and perpetrators alike, were able to enter into this messy call of forgiveness, and how they have liberated them in what they have gone through. It doesn't mean really that if we forgive people, that we just overlook the need for justice. But sometimes even justice that we desire cannot be attained here But even then, we should never bereft ourselves with the capacity to forgive, not necessarily for the sake of the person who has hurt us, but for the sake of our own self, so that we are able to live in the grace of the moment and not be shackled by the past, not be enslaved by the past. There's always a confusion. Sometimes we hear this, and I've mentioned this before, with people having a hard time with forgiveness, especially in situations of abuse and incredible hurt, when people say, I refuse to forgive because I cannot see myself being back to the same relationship that I had with that person. And I've mentioned so many times before, and it's worth mentioning again, that in the language of faith, forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. You know, we are not really called, I mean, the end goal, of course, is reconciliation, meaning we forgive, and at the same time, we are able to go back to our original relationship. That's what happens in the sacrament of confession. That's why we call it the sacrament of reconciliation. We are forgiven, but at the same time, we are reconciled back to our original relationship with God. But that doesn't always happen in some of our relationships. And some of them, we are not encouraged to even reconcile because we put ourselves in danger again. And that is in situations of abuse, in situations where that we will put ourselves in harm's way again. But even in those situations, we are still called to forgive. And forgiveness is not all going back to the original relationship, but what does it entail? That I can pray and wish for the good of that person. And I don't want to seek revenge to that person. And this is what the first reading today from the book of Sirach is telling us. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in details. Forgive your neighbor's injustice, then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. It's really self-therapeutic. It's about being good to ourselves. It's telling the person who has hurt us too, without any kind of remorse on their part, especially if they are not sorry about it, I refuse to be dictated by what you did to me. And I want to live the grace of the moment, so I am forgiving you. I am liberating myself in as much as I am liberating you as well. I read also another commentary on this, and it talks about sin, committing sin, as very similar to finding oneself in a quicksand. You know, he said the question of Peter to Jesus in the gospel today, it's like a question that we can ask a father. How many times are you going to rescue your son who keeps finding himself in a quicksand? How many times? Without limits, right? Even though how many times we remind probably that person, don't go there, and he keeps on going there, and he keeps on finding himself in that quicksand. Every time he is there, of course, the tendency is to pull him out. That's the same way God is with us. Whenever we commit sin, we find ourselves in a quicksand. And if we follow the literal translation of this 77 times, you know, I have already reached my quota. I have already reached my quota. I'm just in my late 30s. If I'm going to take this literally, then I'm going to be so hopeless and not able to reach heaven one day. But because Jesus says, without limits, And that is his attitude to me and to each and every one of us. I am always given hope. But the hope that he gives us is that as we realize how forgiving and loving he is, we are also inspired to turn away from our sins and be agents of forgiveness to other people, so that as they experience forgiveness from us, they also change their lives for the better. That's what it is. How am I relishing this invitation from God? Do I have hurts and resentments, using the words of Sirach in the first reading today, that I hug tight, thus hindering me to live in the joy of the moment?